start paying attention to that. I think so often when we're in this place of sharing, we're so up in our head about it. Like, okay, is this okay? Should I be going here? Should I be talking about this? Is this resonating with them? That we're not actually in the experience with them. That's the difference. Like what we spoke about earlier, when you're in that experience with them and your heart is connected to theirs and you're watching for how this is landing with them instead of trying to perfect it in your own mind or justify sharing this in your own mind, you can so easily pick up on those things.
Hey, this is Laura, and you're listening to Expand. Welcome back, love. Let's get into it.
Kelly and I were connecting yesterday on what we wanted to talk about with all of you today. And there's a topic that's on both of our hearts that, you know, yesterday when we were connecting on it, we're like, this feels kind of messy, but in a really exciting, exploratory kind of a way. And you guys know when we start a session where we don't really have a clear destination, they always end up being our favorite. So buckle up, because this one's feeling a little bit, it's feeling really important and very potent to share, but unclear at this point where this conversation is really going to finish. So it's going to be a bit playful. We were exploring together this idea of our hesitation to share our own personal growth experiences as informants of how we guide our clients. So what I mean is when we ourselves are growing, evolving, healing, we so often hide those parts of our journey from our clients because we don't have clarity. We don't have the answers. It does feel messy. We ask ourselves questions like, should I be talking about this? Am I safe to be talking about this? Am I qualified to be talking about this? Right. And so, oh, no problem, Jenna. No problem. I see you. No problem. And so we hold ourselves back, and Kelly and I were kind of giggling about it because our own journeys have been very much that way up until recently, where, you know, you're going through your own evolution and then you don't necessarily feel safe to share it until you have this more formal thing saying that you are now qualified to talk about this, right? Isn't that true? I remember, I think my very first experience of this would have been all the way back with macros. And then that's what Kelly and I were talking about yesterday. And then like intuitive eating and healing our relationship with our body. And just this whole evolution that was happening for me behind the scenes and for Kelly behind the scenes. And yet we held back from actually using those experiences inside of the work that we were doing for so long because we weren't qualified. We didn't have the certification, the stamp of approval to say that we were safe to share what was really happening with us. And if you fast forward into these rooms, it's like the complete opposite, right? As soon as I'm moving through something, I'm talking to you guys about it. As soon as I have an experience in my own life, in my own growth, I'm bringing it into these rooms for a very important reason, right? I really believe that that vulnerability of just meeting you where I'm at can so often shine a light on areas of your own journey that you haven't even explored yet. And it really deepens our ability to connect and to speak about the experiences that you yourself are having. Right, Kel, I want your opinion on this, because what I really see as the through line for so much of the work that we do is this idea of it being rooted purely in experiences. Like so much of what we talk about with our clients has nothing to do necessarily with the science that we learned in school, and so much more to do with the experiences that our clients are moving through and how they feel safe to be held by us in them. And I really believe that when we meet our clients with our own experiences first, that is almost like that step of vulnerability to share, this is what feels true for me. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm doing in these types of situations. I'm coming up against this right now. Let me share with you what's going on with me, and maybe something will resonate with you. And then we can have a conversation about it rather than us always needing to be the expert up here with all of the answers, having it all figured out. Mm-hmm. Right? What's your opinion on this?
Yeah, well, first, I'm just thinking about like my evolution through all of this and where I'm at most recently. And just like you, Laura, I'm in a place right now where like, it's almost like if I see something in a client that is mirroring something that I am currently moving through, or that I've just had some kind of insight around in my own healing and growth experience, my immediate internal reaction is more like, wow, how cool is it that we're all so connected and going through the same thing at the same time? Right. And I almost see it as like a really cool, like synchronistic thing where it's like, oh, wow, like this must be like a collective thing that we're all moving through right now. And I'm going through it so that I can support this client and help them see what they're going through. And it's not this thing where I'm like, oh no, like I don't feel qualified to talk about this. Like that doesn't even go in my mind, but it used to. It used to be like, oh, I'm not, like, I don't even know what this is. Like, I'm currently going through it. I feel like this is something that they would need help with, but I can't help them with it because I don't know what I'm doing. And I would just like run in the other direction and not even really want to shine a light on what I was seeing because I felt like it would have put too much pressure on me. That would have been really scary and really vulnerable. Whereas now it's like, oh, cool. Like I saw this in myself 2 days ago. Let's talk about it.
Right. I think that when we strip away the layer of shame around needing to heal in the first place or needing to be doing our own work in the first place, it allows us to access those moments a little bit more compassionately, both for ourselves and then with our clients. Right. I really do believe that it's that layer of shame that really stops us from speaking up. It's like, oh, I need to hide this because they can't see that part of me because that will erode the faith that they have in me, the trust that they have in me. They won't see me as this expert that can help them if they see that I myself am struggling. And it's interesting to really unpack that because that really is rooted in just your ego, your own built-in self-protective mechanisms that's been created from lived experiences that you've had where you didn't feel safe to share, perhaps, or where you were shamed outwardly for being vulnerable, maybe when you were little. I don't know. That's different for everyone. But I just know it is such a human experience to hide the weaknesses, the perceived weaknesses that we all carry with us. And how completely opposite the experience actually is when you allow yourself to remove that layer of shame and play with the vulnerabilities that live inside of you inside of a session with a client. Mm-hmm. Right? There are so many moments in this room where I share something that I never would have shared even a year ago. I would have hidden until I was through it so I could talk about it clearly and succinctly and with purpose. Right? But I know in those moments, that's when I feel the most connected to all of you, because I see you all lean in and it's like, we're holding each other and we're all going through a very similar experience in our own ways. So we get to just be in it together rather than trying to cerebrally fix it or control it or make it better. We just get to be in it. And I think that that's the whole point. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're in this type of leadership role as coaches and we make ourselves vulnerable in this way where we share what we're currently moving through and what we're struggling with and what we're presently working on inside of ourselves, when we share that with the people that we try to uphold this leadership role and archetype for, I think our immediate fear is that it's going to diminish how they view us or diminish the extent to which they view us as someone that can lead them, right? Like they're going to think less about me because I have work to do. But if we really unpack that, like you said, a little bit more, well, one, that's not necessarily true. I mean, I personally would love to be led by people who are also doing their work and are like moving through things all the time. I don't expect there's a destination where anyone is ever moving through nothing and has nothing to move through at the same time, right? No one ever arrives in that type of destination. If you're alive, there's work to be doing on yourself and there's things to be learning. And I think a lot of people understand that. And so I think that most people's reaction to us vulnerably sharing something that we're currently moving through is not going to be a reaction of, oh, they're not who I thought that they were, or they're not as far along as I thought that they were. And even if that is true, even if someone does have that type of tarnished, we'll say, perspective of you because you share vulnerably that there's something that you're presently moving through, that doesn't mean anything about you. That's just a projection. If someone else is judging you for not being there yet, they're judging themselves for a role that they are taking in their life. Maybe it's in a relationship or it's in their own career or whatever it is, where they feel like they are further, they're trying to make themselves be portrayed as further along than they really are. And they're afraid of being found out in that way. And that's the only way they would be able to see that in you or judge you for that same thing.
That's so important to see. Yes. I constantly remind myself, are there someone like taking pictures or just like flashing and just distracting me. It's pulling me out of my channel a little bit. Sorry. Okay. Here we go. It's so important to always be anchoring back into that. And, you know, for me, I really remind myself of that even just before I open myself up to a vulnerable share, because ultimately being in a relationship with someone in and of itself is vulnerable, you know? And I think the reason why we are all collectively in this space is because we all crave that. We all crave that intimacy. We all crave that deep connection. We crave the conversations that go so much deeper than anything that we're traditionally trained to work with our clients on. And in order to really access them on that level, vulnerability needs to lead our conversations. We can never access them on the level that's truly possible unless we are willing to open ourselves up for judgment, for shame, for rejection. Like, all of those things get to be in the room with you while you're leading someone. And I really do believe that the very best leaders in this space, they are consistently doing their own work so that they can hold that space both for themselves and for their people at the exact same time. Right? It's so interesting to see how when we're first tiptoeing into this direction, just everyone moves through a very similar pattern, right? Where we want it. We can see it. We can feel it within us. Just like I just saw it pop up, and this was me too, Jenna. As I'm just starting out on this journey, I'm feeling little, down. My mom always called me emotional in a negative way. That was like, me too. I was always shamed for my deep, deep emotion and how quickly I would connect with my clients. And when we tiptoe into this direction where we crave more of that and we start to be okay with that being a part of our relationship, of that being really our magic, our gift, the thing that binds us to our people more so than so many other coaches, that's a vulnerable thing to expose and to believe in and to trust, right? And it also requires this stripping away of so many layers that tell us that that's wrong, that we should be more science-based, evidence-based. We should have the facts. We should have the studies. We should be able to prove what it is that we're talking about, right? But we forget that our lived experience is proof as well. And nothing that we're doing here is diagnosing or telling someone that this is the only way. When we lead from experience, it's a conversation about what could be happening. It's a conversation about what our personal journey looked like and what feels true for you in that. It's an invitation to really put your clients in the seat, the driver's seat of their own life, and to begin to trust, oh, that feels true for me. Can we explore that more? Rather than us guiding their journey from our very limited knowledge of what it is that they actually need, because we've never actually gone beyond just what we see on the surface, right? So when we begin to lead from our experiences, I really think that it just instantly deepens the connection that we have with our client, and it lessens the pressure of us needing to have the answers, because it's more of a conversation around what it is that they're moving through combined with what it is that we're moving through. And together, let's move forward to find a path that feels true for them. That makes sense.
I love this so much because I feel like moving in the direction with inside of our coaching where we're no longer trying to have the answer for your client. Like, I'm telling you what's going on for you, or I'm telling you what the solution to this problem is, and into a place where we just share what we're seeing and how we're seeing it filtered through the lens of our own personal experiences, even telling a story about how you moved through something that feels similar. And what about the story brings up something in you? And it might end up bringing up a similar story or an experience for them or something that resonates, or it might not be at all close to what you shared, but it sparks a different experience or it sparks a different memory that shows them something that's important. Mm-hmm. And really what this is doing, it's teaching your client how to coach themselves, really, mm-hmm. through just having conversation with them and leading them in directions mentally where they wouldn't go if you weren't there having this conversation for them and holding the mirror for them. And that's really what I think is the most powerful part of our work together. It's not in what we can diagnose. It's not in what we can tell someone that they should do or that they should be doing differently. And that stuff might come, you know, have its time and place sometimes. But for the most part, we want to really empower our clients to learn how they can see what's going on inside of themselves through having reflections and through hearing other people's experiences. And I think that that has become such an integral part of my work with clients, is just sharing stories and sharing things that I've moved through, because it really wakes up something inside of them that they can see is going on for themselves. And then not only do they have some direction moving forward, but they found that themselves too. Mm-hmm. And they can feel empowered in that.
Mm-hmm. And they don't feel alone either, yeah. Right? It's like, oh, this is normal. Oh, you're going through this. Oh, you have other clients that have gone through this. Even if it's not exactly the same, it's like, oh, okay, I can move through this. This isn't something I need to shame and hide away. This isn't something I need to struggle with by myself. And I think too, it opens them up to have the deeper conversation with you, right? Because so often when our clients first come to us, especially before they understand really the work that we want to guide them through, they are coming to us with still a very surface level dialogue, right? It's like they're trying to connect why they feel a certain way to something external, or they're focused on trying to control the external. And I think that sharing through experience and stories of other clients, perhaps that you've moved through something very similar, can allow them to more quickly sink into the conversation that needs to really be had with them, because it's easier for them to see themselves in someone else than to create this idea in their head from scratch, right? It's easier to go, oh, that could be true for me. I can see it. It makes sense for that person. And if it makes sense for that person, if it makes sense for Laura, then maybe it makes sense for me to explore if that's happening in my own life as well. And now we can really like sink into it without trying to construct it out of nothing. Does that make sense? Christine says, this is bringing me back to the episode I did with George. Yeah, that was a good one. If you guys haven't listened to that one yet, that was a really good one. I really like that one. He first thought he was being vulnerable, but he was actually off-gassing issues onto others. Yes, I remember that. Can you too speak into the way you learn to be vulnerable, but in a way that is helpful to our clients versus venting or creating a codependent relationship? If anyone didn't get, okay. I really think that vulnerability and venting, there's a very distinct line between the two. Vulnerability is sharing to open up a space that someone else feels safe in with you to maybe have their own experience. In my opinion, in the coaching space, vulnerability can look a million different ways. But within this context, I would see it as I'm sharing something from my heart, something that I'm moving through, something that I've struggled with, to open up a space where dialogue can exist for you to then come into that space with your experience, with your struggle, and we can meet in the middle. I think venting or off-gassing is egoic. It's not from the heart. It's, I need to prove something to this person. I need them to know that I know what they're talking about. I need them to know that I had the same experience. It's not to invite them in deeper. It's to prove to them that you are an expert in this, or you've had a similar experience, or you're qualified to lead them. Or perhaps you just have this like built up, pent up energy within you that needs to be witnessed by someone. And then that can feel like an opportunity to be witnessed by someone, right? And I think that that's a really dangerous place to experience sharing in that way, because it almost takes advantage of the power dynamic in a way. It's like, you're here and I'm going to off gas onto you because I have the ability to. So it's really important to check where your intention is coming from. It's really all about the intention of the share. You could share the exact same way in two completely different ways. Right? I think venting, for example, would be something like, oh, I know what you're talking about. This happened to me. And then you just go into your story. Vulnerability is, I see you in this. Would it be okay if I shared with you something that I feel might be really relevant, something that I'm currently going through? This has been my experience. Does any piece of that resonate with you? How does that make you feel? Right? Venting is one directional. Vulnerability is opening up a space for a deeper relationship.
I'm seeing a through line through all of this, and I'm wondering if this resonates with you, Laura, but what comes up for me as I'm hearing you speaking is that when we're being vulnerable in that kind of like codependent way, it's more like we're focusing on what we can get out of that experience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be seen, or the attention is going to be on me, or someone's going to help me with this, or I'm going to feel like I'm worthy or good enough because I have this experience, just like you were saying. And I feel like I am, like, you know, showing myself as an authority figure for whatever it is. And we're getting something from it, significant certainty, whatever, mm-hmm. versus true vulnerability is focusing on what we can give from that experience.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, it's exactly that. I completely agree. I think too, it's important to make note of the fact that when we're focusing on trying to get something, that isn't insidious always. It isn't always like, like, what can I get from this person? This is my chance. This is my chance to tell someone what I've been through, right? That's not it. That's like, we all accidentally do this at times.
Mm-hmm. We all right? want to be seen.
We all want to be seen. It's such a natural human pattern. And so it's important to witness when that's happening, but also to recognize how it's happening for you. How do you know when you're sharing something to get something? Right? Pay attention to the way the conversation goes after you share. Does that person shut off or do they open up? Do they feel more connected to you, or do you feel like you just built up a wall? Does the conversation stop or does it flow more easily? I think those are all little signals that can tell you how you're holding that share and your intention behind it.
I have one signal that I've noticed that happens before I share it.
Okay.
And it's that I'm waiting for the other person to stop talking so that I can share.
Oh, yes. Great one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like waiting for my opportunity to like take the stage from the person. Cause I'm like, I have something important to share. I want to be seen in this. And that's my signal that I'm like wanting to get something from sharing, which, just like you said, isn't necessarily bad and context dependent, you know, whatever. This doesn't have to just apply to like relationships with clients. I more so see this in my conversations that I have with other people in my life, where I'm like, they're sharing something and it reminds me of like a quote or an experience that I had. And I'm like now waiting for them to stop talking so that I can share my thing. And I've witnessed myself in that like very recently, where I'm like, oh wow, like, can I just let them have their experience right now rather than trying to take it from them?
So interesting. So in that moment, just like to play with this a little bit, how do you create that shift for yourself? Do you still share?
It's been so recently that I just like kind of just witnessed myself in it. Like I witnessed this like part of me that's, I almost like see it as like a little kid that's just like, I want to go. Like, let me have it. Let me have the stage, you know, like I want to be celebrated. I want to be, you know, seen in this way. And I let myself do it. I can remember a conversation that I had this last weekend with someone close to me that I did this with. And immediately the other person just like didn't answer me. And then I felt very unseen. It was just like, they were talking and then I like shared my thing. And then they just like, were like, oh yeah. And then started talking about something else. And I was like, huh, I didn't get what I wanted out of that. And it was just really interesting to like, see that I had this like attachment to like wanting to get something out of that interaction. And then when I didn't, I was like really deflated. And then I started to trace my steps back to like, okay, how did I feel before I shared it? And started to connect those dots for myself. So this is very new for me too, but it's really interesting.
That's really interesting. What came up for me as you were talking was like the parallel to how we share online in the online space, or to when we're creating content or hosting workshops or what have you. I think that we strategically try to lace in vulnerability because it's the hot thing, right? It's common now to be really like emotional and poetic. I see it a lot. I see it popping up a lot. And when it feels forced in that way, it's almost like, see me, recognize me, tell me that what I'm saying resonates with you. Tell me that my story changed your life, when really the opportunities to be vulnerable is more like a softening. It's more like an opening. And you can tell, you can, when you're reading people's messages, when you're reading people's content, I know for me, there's a few accounts that I follow where you can just feel their heart just opening to you. And they don't need anything from you. They don't need your recognition or your praise. They're just like, here's my heart. This is what I'm moving through. This is what I've seen recently come up for me. And they just like, boop, drop it. Mm-hmm. And they just let it be. Versus like being so, I just picture this energy of like, so being so attached to your vulnerable share. Oh my God, I'm like ripping my hair out. Being so attached to your vulnerable share when you need it to give you something back in order to feel safe to share it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's attachment. Being attached to the outcome of that vulnerable share. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I can feel the difference in that energy too when I'm reading something. And I don't think I've ever like contextualized it in the way that we are right now. And now I'm curious how I'm going to actually start to notice it with a little bit more of conscious awareness. Yeah. But as you're speaking about it, I can really feel like exactly that difference that you're talking about, where I can feel that softening of that person's heart opening and there's nothing attached to it, versus like this person is sharing it kind of for, in some way, attention.
Right. It's strategic.
Yeah. Yeah. Real vulnerability, I feel like, can't really be strategic.
No, I don't think so either. I think that's really interesting. I've never considered that before, but I think that real vulnerability is what makes us magnetic. Mm-hmm. Right. So much of what we talk about in here around finding our own path and really stripping away the conditioning of the industry so that we can speak in our own way, it requires so much trust. It requires so much courage and an immense amount of vulnerability. And when we see some of you starting to play with that and witnessing, oh my gosh, I had conversations I'd never had before, or people were just like, I posted this randomly, it was really scary, but I did it. And I had so many people say that it resonated with them. You didn't post it so that people would say it resonated with them. You posted it from a place of courage, from a place of growth. You were meeting yourself in a new edge, and you posted it to practice the art of vulnerability. And in return, people felt that. They felt the purity in it and they felt drawn to it. And I really think that that is the magic that we're all trying to seek. It's when we try to make vulnerability strategic that it falls flat and it doesn't work. And then we create this belief in ourselves that it's not safe to be vulnerable because people don't listen or aren't going to resonate with what we have to say. And then that can become insidious in how we carry ourselves. right? Real quick, I'm just going to scroll back up because I saw a comment from Nicole that I don't want to miss. She said, I do share sometimes with clients and have found it does make them feel like they're not alone and has been helpful. But sometimes I almost don't want to take up too much space with my clients because I want to make sure I'm holding enough space for them and not like, here, now you listen to all my stuff. How do we know the right balance of listening and sharing? Well, first I'd like to challenge this idea of there's a right balance. That's a non-existent concept, I believe, in this conversation. I don't think there is a right balance. I think that this is where intuition gets to come in. And that's a really shitty answer, Nicole. Like, this is where we get to begin to trust ourselves. Like, if you're starting to overshare and take up too much space and you're kind of stifling the connection, or you're not allowing them to then contribute, that's your sign. You'll feel it in your gut. I feel it in my solar plexus. You may feel it in your throat. You may feel it in your chest. You'll feel a tightening where it's like, ooh, okay, maybe this is the time where I pause and I ask them what's landing for them. Maybe this is the time where I pause and I ask them what's coming up for them. Right? I think that the balance is making sure that it's a connection moment, not a communication moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it ebbs and flows too. There's not like a black and white answer. Like, there might be some moments and parts in your coaching container and some conversations that require you to speak more and listen less, and then vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just the intuitive flow of the nature of coaching, because there's no like manual on how to coach, really. I mean, it's just about like connection with people and intuitively guiding them in the ways that you have feel guided to inwardly, and then using some strategies that you learn, like in trigger mapping, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's just a combination of so many things. And I think that, just as Laura is speaking into, you will know. I mean, it's similar to what we were talking about earlier, when it starts to become a sharing to get something, to be seen, to be heard, to feel validated. And I think that if you start to cross the line over into that, then that's your sign. That's your wake up call to maybe shoot back into listening and exploring with the client, so that you stay in service to them. And other than that, like, if you are sharing and your ego kicks in and says like, I'm talking too much, but like, you can really feel that like the other person is receiving it and it's lighting up things in them, and it's really serving a deeper purpose, and you're sharing from a place of wanting to connect with them, then there's nothing wrong with that. There's no black or white with this, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, you know, at the end of the session or the next session, if you're in your head about it and you're like, I really feel like I didn't give them the space to share, I didn't give them the space to speak, what's wrong with coming to them and just saying that? You know, in our last session, I felt like I spoke a lot. I felt like I was sharing a lot, and I was starting to feel a little bit in my head about it, because I want to make sure that you feel like you have all of the space that you need in order to feel fully heard and seen by me. How did you feel in the last session? What landed for you? Did that feel helpful to hear from my perspective, what I had been moving through, or what my client was moving through, or whatever it was that you shared? I think so often, so many of our problems could be solved just by asking, right? Instead of just getting in our head about, is this okay? Is that okay? Where's the balance? Where's the line? Are they comfortable with this? I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. Like, let's just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's just talk about it. And that in and of itself is an act of vulnerability, because they could very easily say, you know what? No, I didn't like that session. And then that's okay. Now you know. Now, what didn't they like about it? Was it hard for them to hear the example that you gave? Did you bring something up in them that felt uncomfortable, or did they just feel not seen? Those are all very different things.
Right.
So I think inside of whatever their answer is, however they feel about it, there's an opportunity to connect even deeper, so that you can guide them in the way that they need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stuff is so hard. So hard, but so simple, right? So simple in nature, but very, very difficult in practice. Yes, Wanda, we have all done this. Thank you for saying that, Nicole. We have all done this. My most engaged content are the ones I never really think about and completely detached from, always, forever. The energy is different. The energy behind it is different. You felt inspired and you spoke. That was it. There was no calculation. There was no formula. There was no strategy. It was just purely your heart speaking. Jenna says, I feel like you can just tell by the reaction someone has. Totally, Jenna. If they just get more quiet or reserved, then it might be that I'm out of that balance. Absolutely. Like, start paying attention to that. I think so often when we're in this place of sharing, we're so up in our head about it. Like, okay, is this okay? Should I be going here? Should I be talking about this? Is this resonating with them? That we're not actually in the experience with them. That's the difference. Like what we spoke about earlier, when you're in that experience with them and your heart is connected to theirs and you're watching for how this is landing with them instead of trying to perfect it in your own mind or justify sharing this in your own mind, you can so easily pick up on those things. So easily. You gotta trust yourself to be in it though. Being fully in it is vulnerable too. Because it strips away all the calculation. It strips away all your safety nets, right? Because what's your mind doing? If this isn't resonating with them, then I'll just give them this tip or this strategy, or this is what I'll talk about next. Like your mind is constantly calculating, right? What do you think about that, Kelly? I think we're probably aligned on this, but I want to check in with you on it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think as soon as we go into our head, we're abandoning our heart. Like you can't really have both. And it's, don't beat yourself up for that. I mean, we're going to be in our head as coaches. And I think the more we're in this work and the more comfortable we start to feel inside of this work, then the more we're going to notice ourselves being in our heart during coaching sessions. And then being in our head isn't something to shame ourselves for, but it's just to kind of be a wake up call to like, oh, what am I protecting right now? Mm-hmm. What am I trying to get out of this experience, or what am I trying to protect myself from? What am I needing to be up here? And can I trust myself to go back down and to lead from my heart space instead? And what does that feel like differently in my body as I'm leading from those two different places? Mm-hmm. Just something that you can start to play with inside of your coaching and to see what it's like and what the results are when you really start to connect more to leading from your heart and not your head.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great additional layer. I think what I would love to see everyone try this week, and like posting it is irrelevant. You don't have to post it, but just record yourself speaking into something that feels vulnerable to speak about. Just to play with it. How do those words feel coming out of your mouth? Can you catch yourself popping up into your head trying to like calculate what you want to say and how you want to say it? I think that would be a really fun exercise, even just for yourself, to watch yourself back. And if you feel called to share it, absolutely share it. But just like so many of you were expressing just a few minutes ago, like creating something that's vulnerable from a strategic place versus creating something that's vulnerable from a heart, from your heart space is so different. And it feels different. The strategic vulnerability is really heavy because at the end of the day, we are still being vulnerable, but there's an expected outcome attached to that vulnerable share. And so often we don't get that outcome. So it can really cut us off at the knees. It can really sort of throw a dagger through our heart when we aren't received in the way that we really desperately want to be received in, or it doesn't work for us the way that our mind wants it to work for us. And I think that stripping away that layer of expected outcome and really just practicing the art of vulnerability in and of itself, the experience of vulnerability, learning what that feels like in your body, watching you pop up into your head and then dropping yourself back down and playing with that dance in real time while you're speaking can be really powerful. I think so much of the reason why Kelly and I can hold these spaces, I know for myself, I'll speak for myself personally, and Kelly, of course, if this resonates, please say, but the reason why I can hold these rooms is because of this dance that I've been playing inside of for years, right? Inside of my creation, inside of hundreds of rooms just like this. It hasn't just been a natural thing for me. It's been it's been a practice of witnessing myself inside of vulnerable moments and regulating myself in it. Really, that's what it is. It's nervous system regulation inside of vulnerability.
As soon as you said that, my mind immediately went to memories that I have of like using the teleprompter app on my phone to record content. And as soon as I would mess up one word, I would start over and I would just,
going too fast and you couldn't read it fast enough.
And I would have to, it took hours, Christine, to film like a 60-second to 2-minute long video. I'd be standing in front of my stupid ring light, just like, start over, like for an hour.
Sweating,
sweating, just like, and I hated doing it so much. And I was like, God, like, why do I suck at making content so much? But like now, like when I'm in sessions with clients, when I'm doing the work sessions, when I'm here with you, like there's no script at all. Like there's nothing that I'm trying to say at all. And it just comes out of me. And this is me being in my heart space. This is me not being in my head. And it feels very different.
It feels incredibly different. I think so. And especially for the heart led, the empathic, the givers, like we crave existing in our heart space most of the time. And I think that's why so often we burn out the fastest, which is such a shame because we have so much to give. We have so much to offer the world, but we're trying to be so controlled in the way that we allow ourselves to be seen that it just weighs us down. It weighs our heart down. We just allow our head to take over. Nicole said, I've never been able to use a teleprompter. I tried for one video and realized how bad it was. So I've always kind of just had an outline, but definitely have been down the path of redoing it a million times. Oh my God. Yeah. Do you remember the teleprompter? Well, first off, because you had to script the whole damn thing. And then you had to like make it so that the text was so little right next to the camera. So it didn't look like you were reading. Oh my God, the worst. And honestly, this was really only maybe 2.5 years ago for me that I was still using that teleprompter. Mm-hmm. And even then, after I stopped using the teleprompter, I hired a videographer so that I could record like 30 seconds, pause it, look at my notes, record another 30 seconds, pause it, look at my notes. And then he would just like chop it all together so that it looks like one seamless flow. Mm-hmm. So I still even didn't trust myself then. And it took me, you know what it took? It took really getting fucking tired of creating content to just say, screw it. I'm just going to talk and trusting myself in that. And then realizing like, holy shit, that was way better and easier.
Way better.
Okay. Okay. I need to listen to this. Jenna says, I'm putting the pieces together. I have always struggled with feeling weaker than other coaches. Yes. So did I, Jenna. I feel that. Like my roster couldn't be too big. I couldn't work 12 plus hour days. Oh God. Yeah. I remember those days because I'd burn out and I'd feel guilty for not having more endurance, like the emotional labor it took. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Yes. So something that I'll share just from I see so much of myself in this. I remember distinctly back when I owned my gym still, Kelly, you were with me at the time. This was our new gym. And I remember having a conversation with two of our head coaches, Dean and Anthony, and being really shamed for the types of relationships that I was building with my clients, because so often I was a personal trainer at the time and a nutrition coach, but mostly a personal trainer. We would just sit on the bench and talk and cry. Like that was our session. We wouldn't even work out. We would just like curl up on a bench together and just cry for an hour. And then they'd go home and we maybe lifted like resets, whatever. And it was great. It was exactly what they needed, but I was really shamed for that. And then that year I was awarded best trainer in the city and they were all nominated as well. And I won. And I was like, you know what? I won because I care the most. I won because I connect the most with my people because of my heart. And that was the turning moment for me. But you don't have to win an award to see that. Like, let this be evidence of that. Like, your heart is everything. And then moving forward, Jenna, even inside of trigger mapping, when I first launched it, I knew that I wanted small intimate rooms like this because I wanted to be able to talk to you and Jamie and Wanda and Gabby and Regina all in the same session And I wanted to feel your heart and I wanted you to feel mine. And I didn't want it to be this really giant thing that I felt lost in, that I didn't feel like I could really be emotional in or vulnerable in. So that's how I developed that program. But for the 10 years before that, I was like you, like, let me try and work 12 hours. Let me try and fill my roster as big as I possibly can, all the while denying the truest parts of myself that were ultimately my magic and is what was going to make me successful if I just trusted it. Yeah, beautiful. Daria, when I tell you I cannot hear this conversation enough times, I'm running behind today. Okay, no problem, love. I'm not going to prepare anything. Yay, go girl. Let us know how it goes. Gabby, yes, amazing, amazing, amazing. God, I hope we don't feel like we need notes forever. You don't. You don't need notes today. You just have to trust it. Try it. I think we're so afraid of trying and failing that we like tiptoe in, when really what would happen if you just took the plunge? I don't know. It's just one podcast. It's just one session. We treat like every piece of creation like it's our only chance, when really it's just one breath. Like, I love this analogy. It's used in yoga a lot. When you, if you were to hold on to one single breath, you would die. But that's how we treat the things that we create. It's like, this has to be amazing the very first time, or I'm going to die. When really, if you just let it be what it's going to be, if you release it and you surrender into the experience of it, you could turn around and create something the next hour if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And feeling like you need notes and needing notes are two very different things.
Good point, Kelly. Good point.
And you're always going to feel like you need notes if you keep making notes for yourself and using it. Like, you're never going to have a different feeling if you don't give yourself a new experience. And so it's up to you to create that different inner experience by not using the notes, even though you're going to feel like you need them at first, because that's never going to change unless you give yourself a new experience.
Hi again. Before you go, I wanted to make sure you knew about the Secret Garden. This is my private membership where I give you unlimited access to all my best stuff, like my entire trigger mapping curriculum, all my workshops, monthly immersive live events, weekly live calls, and different layers of support, each designed for you to access at the depth that you desire. I designed it to stretch you to new edges as a coach and a leader, to unravel your conditioning and wake you up to your truth so you can stand in your gift and lead your people from that place. I've linked it up in the show notes for you to explore more when it feels good for you. Okay, I'll see you back here soon. Love ya.